Praise God. Well, turn in your Bibles tonight. We're going to share some scripture. I just felt that an urge to share a few scriptures. I did send some notes up there, but I want to deviate a little bit, guys, if I might have the pleasure. I'd like you to turn to two versions of scriptures, and I'm going to read it in the New Living Translation. If you turn to Psalm 23:1 and Philippians 4:19. Psalm 23:1 is a modern, reality of what we're living today. Psalm 22 is a prophetic word spoken about Jesus suffering on the cross. And Psalm 23 is the reality of us walking in the covenant of that particular notation that was given to us by the psalmist. And the psalmist wrote here in Psalm 23:1, I'm reading the New Living Translation, "The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need." Jesus. This is talking about Jesus. Because you have Jesus, you have all your needs met. The 23rd Psalm is a living reality of you and I. If we choose to believe the scripture and embrace the scripture as God's word, this belongs to us. It belongs to you whether or not you participate in it. And, you know, anything written in the Bible is not automatic. Just because something's there, you must, you know, believe God for him. But there's an opposition. You have a devil who's going to try to dissuade you and do what he can to steal from you. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 10, let me remind you, he says, the thief, that's the devil, comes not but for to steal. He wants to steal from you, kill, and destroy. So he wants to do that. Ultimately, that's his M.O. And so, but he said, I've come to give you life. And more abundantly. And so God wants us to live the abundant life, even if we live below that. You know, it's not really God's fault that we come below that. You know, we need to believe God that he wants to bless you. And we should follow him and not act foolishly and get things stolen away from us. Philippians 4:19 says, Paul says to the churches, and I want to tell you in context, Philippians 4:19 belongs to the person who gives into God's work. And it is true, generally speaking, that God meets every need, but when we begin to provide, you know, to be a part of what God's doing, God promises to bless you back. He says, Philippians 4:19, and we could read the whole context if we want to and just get the whole understanding of it. Let's go ahead and read there if we can. Maybe let's go read from verse 15 and put it on the screen so that we can all read it. Paul is talking to, now Paul is a missionary here, an apostle, someone who's founding a church, and he's going out and he's being given financial blessings to do the work, because you need money to do something, right? You need people to help you. You need partners. And so if you read the whole chapter 1, he talks about you're my partners in ministry, in the fellowship of the ministry, and you're praying for me and you're giving me funds. I got to go back online and remember our partners just to tell them that again. So in verse 15, he says, as you know, you Philippians, you could say you people from Faith City Church in Thunder Bay, were the only ones who gave me financial help when I first brought you the good news and then traveled on from to, North Bay or whatever. The good news, and then traveled to British Columbia. No other church did this. I'm trying to read this in modern vernacular so that you understand in context. In verse 16, he says, when I was in Thessalonica, you sent more than one time. So thank God for transactions. So these guys were giving, supplying him financial help. Verse 17 says, I don't say this because I want a gift from you. Rather, I want you to receive a reward for your kindness. Now, he's saying something here that I'm not telling you this because I just want your money, but I also want something here for you as well. Verse 18, it says, At the moment have all I need and more, and I'm generously supplied with the gifts you sent me from Epaphroditus. They are a sweet-smelling sacrifice acceptable to God. Don't you know that when you give, God receives that as a sacrifice offering? And I remember he talks about a drink offering being poured out, and that's a special offering that they did in the Old Testament. They did. It's like pouring your life out to God. And verse 19 says, the same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from his glorious riches, not from your business, but that's just a point where God does it. But he'll supply your need according to what? According to the status of the government of Canada. I don't know. I mean, thank God it's working for us, but God will find a way to meet your need. He doesn't just bring it one way. He's going to bring it another way. And so we have to understand, read these Bible scriptures in context. Because I don't know where you are financially. I don't know where you're sitting at. But we need to believe God for everything in our lives. So I'm just kind of putting that in context. With that, we could say God will supply all of our need. My physical health. God wants you to have physical well-being. He wants you to have good mental health, stable emotional, ability, so that you don't have to go off go crazy, so to speak. God wants you stable emotionally so that you can make good decisions. God wants you to have good mental health. He wants you to have good physical health without any pain. God wants you to be pain-free. And he wants you to have your physical needs met, your financial or material needs met. God wants you to have every need met. If you look at the picture of the Israelites when we were brought out of Egypt, the Bible says God brought them out with silver and gold. And not one sick person, not one person who was feeble among them. And you have to understand the context of those people coming out of Egypt. They were emaciated, skinny, malnourished. They were prisoners. They didn't own one piece of shoelace. They were property owned by Pharaoh. They were prisoners. They were people who were working at the grind, so to speak, and they were whipped and told to work from sunup, sundown until they were this tired. And when God took them out, they had a lamb for a house. They celebrated the lamb for a house. That's symbolic of Jesus. They ate that and put the blood on the door. And the Bible says that night God healed every one of them. And they came out. And that's a picture of you and I coming out of Egypt. Egypt is a type of the world or the devil's kingdom. Pharaoh is a type of the devil who's holding you in bondage. And God set you free by applying the blood on the house of every house, and they all came out, and they were sick. Some of them had missing parts in their bodies. Some of them maybe had a missing finger, toe, or whatever, arm. And the Bible says they came out, not one person was sick. Everyone was made whole. That was a miracle service. And so that's a picture, and the psalmist quotes that later on. I mean, Moses wrote that, but the psalmist quotes it later on. He said that, God brought them forth with silver and gold. There was not one sick person, not one feeble person among their tribe. So you and I are just like those Israelites. Those Israelites is a type, an example of what God did for us when we came out of the kingdom of darkness. Now, we don't always live fully in that blessing right away, because we learn to believe God. We learn to be blessed. And you don't have to earn it, but we learn how to be more, receive the grace of God. So that's a kind of a picture. And notice I want to show this, that God will supply all your needs. The psalmist says, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not lack. The King James says, I will not lack. I will not lack for one thing. Then he goes on and repeats all the blessings in this 23rd Psalm that we can claim today. If we turn to 3 John 2. In 3 John 2, John is writing, and he's saying to us that God wants us blessed spirit, soul, and body. God wants us to be totally blessed. In 3 John 2, let's go ahead and read the King James Version here. It gives us a good picture. It says that God, that, you know, the Lord God, the same God we're talking about here, he said he wants you, you know, fully blessed, fully healed, fully supplied in 3 John 2, the third chapter. There it is. There it is. Third John, there's only one chapter and verse 2. There's only one verse in that scripture. Yeah. Did I say Third John? How many Johns are there? Three, right? Okay. I mean, yeah. So he said, beloved. Well, how many beloved we got tonight? We are beloved, right? So, beloved, I wish above all things, some versions say, I pray. I wish above all things. Everybody say, above all things. The Bible says, I'll supply all your needs. Right? He says in here, I wish above all things that you may prosper. Be in health. That's physical well-being. Even as your soul prospers, that's your thinking. That's your soul. Your soul is your thinking, your emotional well-being, your ability to, you know, the third part of, or just the middle part of who you are. You have your spirit, soul, and body. You know, it's kind of funny. The way you think affects how you feel, and the way you have that affects your physical body. You ever heard about the flight? What is it, fight or flight? You know, your body tenses up. It does something, right? Even if you were not afraid of something, or even if you didn't have, say, even if you were not in danger and they showed you pictures of some things, it does something to your body, even though you know it's not true, it still affects your body. That's what happens when you read too much bad things and read a lot of bad things, it still affects you. I was talking to somebody yesterday that they had enormous problems, physical problems, and they were told that it's because you worry so much. I just read somewhere just recently that I sent it to some of my staff. I said, stress, fear and stress is really bad for your physical well-being. Stress is very bad for you because you don't understand sometimes the stress you're in, and if you're always continually worried, you think it's normal, it affects you, and it can bring on various sicknesses, like now they tell us that can cause different cancers. That's not a good news, right? But I'm trying to say here, that God will, he wants to prosper you. Not, you know, physical prosperity, financial, God wants to bless you. We just saw two scriptures. That he wants to bless you in your area of your finances. Paul said he'll supply all your needs. That's talking to the ones who is giving financially. He promised the one who gives to him, I'm gonna supply your needs. You take care of my needs in my house, I'm going to take care of your needs in your house. And so that's the faith that you should have, that if I'm going to participate in God's economy, he said to do this, so I don't have to try to get anything. He's going to do it for me. I just have to believe. I have to receive it. Receive it by faith. Right? So I just take that, okay, thank you. And not worry about whether or not God's going to do it. God's going to do it, you know. So here's a scripture. Let's go here to a scripture that I'm thinking about. And I know I gave you my notes back there, but I just feel that here's a thought I want to propose to you and give you, that God wants his church, his ministry, and his people to have all their needs met. Like we should have all our needs met in this church, and we do have all our needs met. We don't lack anything. I mean, we're going to be building a building, another building. This is a temporary building where we're in red. This is a temporary, you know, place where we're worshiping. We're going to build, right? Yeah. You know, you say things sometimes people don't understand. Sometimes you say things that they can't have faith for, but you have faith for it, but they don't have faith for it. But you understand, you know. So sometimes people say, I'm going to be healed from this, or I'm believing God for this, and somebody else doesn't believe it. Well, it doesn't mean anything, but for that person who's believing, right? So we're always believing and progressing, right? So thank God. I just want to mention to you again that we this year here, during COVID, we had some challenges with different things, and we are able to fix that front door over here. I think that was $35,000 just to get the whole doors in and everything, and all the window pane and all that. That was $30,000 last summer, before the summer. And so we did the whole front, all the windows. We found the windows were, the reason why we had to move on is because the windows were rotting. First of all, where these guys sitting, it was all rotten there, right down to the ground. And it was, water was coming in, so we had to do something. Isn't it amazing? You have to, when you use your faith, you have to use your faith. But if it didn't have to do anything, we wouldn't do anything. So we had to believe. Okay, this church here, we had to believe. You know, we have to pay like $5,000 a month just to be here. Where you're sitting right now, $5,000 has to go into an account so we can be here every month. And by the way, you know, we're getting close to paying this off. Very close. Amen? And I'll tell you what it is in a minute. So we paid $80,000 just to get the front. This is before, is it winter time? Before winter, was it? Yeah, just before the winter. We got all the windows, brand new windows. Every window was brand new, bottom and front on the top, and new fascia and whatever my wife mentioned there. It looks better, doesn't it? So what am I talking about? I'm just saying that God provides our needs. So we didn't have to beg. We didn't have to beg everybody, listen, give money or else we're going to close down. No, God provides needs. We trust God and we give. In fact, let me tell you, before we did that, we wrote checks out to other churches who needed money. A church called us from Toronto and said, I'm sending out this letter to different people. We want this many churches to give $5,000 each. So I said, okay, we'll give because we're believing for projects. So we gave $5,000. And another church needed another $5,000, so we gave another $5,000. And another church needed $20,000, so we gave $20,000. Because we had surplus. Our person who did our account says, you got too much money in your bank account. You're a nonprofit. You better start giving that money away. I said, no, we're not giving no money away. We have to build. We're building a church here. Money doesn't come into that every day. I know how much money we need to use, so we put in $80,000 in the front here. That's a lot of chicken, Ernie. And so we did the other part. We had to remember we had to do the other part. That's another $35,000. 35, 80,000, another 35,000, and another. We're talking about this is a nonprofit. We don't sell pancakes. We don't make shoes, right? I don't drive a truck or an airplane. I don't drive a transit. Like, we don't do that. It's people who are giving to a ministry. So now we're gonna do this. It's another 35. It'll be done. So we've done everything we can in this church to make it what we need. Glory to God. So we're going here. So I'm just telling you that God will provide for our needs. Right? Like the television ministry, it works different from this year, from the church. It doesn't have the same. We have a different system, financial system. It works on its own without the church. But we work together. But it takes money to have programs going out. So thank God he provides all our needs. That's what I'm trying to say. We're believing God. that he supplies all of our needs, every one of our needs. And so we're going to do it by faith again to build that other section of it. How many of you guys believe in with us? We'll have a nice big auditorium out there, just a nice one. There's different Christian organizations come and say, we want to hold an event at your church. We need at least 1,000 seats. Well, we can't do that right now. I said, you could jam pack 350 people in here right now, maybe. It says 520 people on the wall there where he says that, the fire marshal said, you could fit five. Where are we going to put 500 people on each other, top of each other? That's what he said in this room. So we can't. We could put maybe 300 seats, So Deuteronomy chapter 8:18 says this. Deuteronomy chapter 8:18, God says this. Now, there's a revelation there about being in connection with God. When you connect with God, he'll connect with you. God says, any of your needs is my need. Your enemy is my enemy. That's what he says, if you read that over and over in the scripture. So he says here, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that gives you power to get wealth. Why? To spend it on your own, buy more yachts? No. He says that he may establish his covenant. God wants you to have enough so that we could do something together to spread the gospel and to meet needs of people. Right? Which he swears to the fathers to this day. Let's bring it up. Let's read it, the NLT from the very first verse. Let's read verse 1 in the NLT from this chapter here. Just to get a good picture of what he's talking about. Be careful to obey all the commands that I'm giving you today. Then you will live and multiply, and you will enter and occupy the land the Lord gave to your ancestors. Remember how the Lord your God led you through the wilderness for these 40 years. Remember about the 40 years, guys, the history behind there. In the wilderness, these 40 years, humbling you and testing you to prove to your character to find out whether or not you would obey his commands. Yes, he humbled you by letting you go hungry and feeding you with manna, a food previously unknown to your ancestors. He did it to teach you that people do not live by bread alone, rather they live by every word that comes from the Lord's mouth of the Lord. For all these 40 years, your clothes didn't wear out and your feet didn't blister or swell. I didn't like that scripture because I like to change my colors of my shoes or clothes once in a while. Like, would you like to wear the same shirt for 40 years? Well, I guess maybe some of you would. But some of us like to change our colors of our shirts once in a while. But anyway, that's good. All is just saying here that God always supplied their clothes, supplied their food, and their physical well-being, their blisters and everything like that. They were supplied, their health was supplied. God supplied them. God will supply you right now, whatever it is you need physically. And then he goes on to say in verse 4, he says, think about it, just as a parent disciplines a child, your Lord your God disciplines you for your own good. So obey the commands of your Lord your God by walking in his ways and fearing him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a land flowing with streams and pools of water, fountains of springs that gush out valleys and hills. It is a land of wheat, barley, and grapevines, and fig trees, pomegranates, and olive oil, and honey. You guys getting hungry yet? It is land where food is plentiful. Everybody said plentiful. And lacking nothing. God says, you cannot lack nothing. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. God does not want us to lack. He wants us to have our needs met. The devil wants to steal from you. He wants to tell you God doesn't meet your need. God wants you to know that I'm going to meet your needs. So a land where iron is as common as stone, copper is abundant in hills, the hills. When you have eaten your fill, here's he tells the people here, beware, Be sure to praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. When you need to remember to give God praise for what he's got. Something happens to you when you begin to praise God for what you have. And if you don't, verse 11, but that is time to be careful, beware, that in your plenty, you do not forget the Lord your God and disobey his commands and regulations. You know, once some people get blessed in the church, after they get born again, they walk away from God. I've seen it. I've only been a Christian not too long, since early 80s, right? I've seen people, they say, Pastor, please pray for me, get a job. We pray for them. Let's pray that you'll have a car. Okay, get a car. And then once they got there, whoop, they disappear. I'm going to carry people to church. I'm going to pick up people. I get a car. They get a car. And they don't come back. But he says, remember, when you're prosperous, when you're all blessed and you got all your needs met, you say, I got all my needs met, but forget about the rest. I know God helped me, but let them help themselves, you know. But somehow, he says, don't forget, verse 12, for you have become, when you have become full and prosperous and have built fine homes to live in, let's talk about all you right here right now, when your flocks and herds have become large, your silver and your gold have multiplied and everything else, and you look in your closet there, man, you got a lot of jewels in there, or in your drawers and stuff, and you got too many socks, you got nowhere to put them. Your cars are coming up, and you got this and that there, and, you know, yeah, all kinds of stuff. Joanne, you better get ready here. Amen. Tonight, there's a rummage sale. I mean, just giveaway, right? Verse 14. And don't become proud at the time and forget the Lord your God who rescued you from slavery. He's talking about the same people who had nothing. They had zero in their account. They had nothing. They didn't even own themselves. In fact, Pharaoh owned them. They were slaves. And he says, that's what he says to them. He rescued you from slavery in Egypt. You know, I was telling the people the other day, last couple weeks ago, I said, you know, I woke up in the Fort William jail, downtown Fort William, and I woke up wondering where I was. I had to think for a while. Where am I? In the jail. It's a Sports Hall of Fame now. Woke up. But I remember very faintly getting thrown into the paddy wagon. And then we're just flying all over the place, police driving us all over town. Because you just won't take one guy until it's all full. We're all full and there are a bunch of us drunks in there. Should I say any more? Okay. That's why sometimes I feel bad for people who come to me for, money. I'm going to a store and they ask me, can you give me money? I give him money. I know what he's going to do. He's going to drink, you know. So you don't have to do it. It's not your $10. It's my $10. In fact, Pastor Ken gave me that $10. So, and I said to another time, I got up in another jail at the Cook Street Jail downtown over here in PA. And I woke up out of it too, and I look around. Where am I? Now, I get up in the morning in my house too and say the same thing. Where am I? No, I'm just kidding. So what am I trying to say is that God wants to meet your need. You see it all here. He wants to meet every one of your needs. Now, let me just show you some story here that God says he'll supply everyone. God sees ahead. Sometimes God will tell you to give something because to sow something because he knows it's going to happen in 6 months. He knows it's going to happen a year, next year to plant seeds. So our farmer, he plants seeds. He doesn't plant one seed and just looks out there the next day and say, where's my crop? It takes some time, right? So the seed you sow today, you might get tomorrow, 6 months' time, or even 2 years from now. God always pays back, you know? And so it doesn't always come, but he always, I mean, there, you know, let's go here to the scripture verse. I want you to see something here again. Let's go to God sees ahead. Let's come back to that point in a minute. There's a scripture verse that I was thinking about. Maybe it's up here. I put it. This is a long story. There's a guy by the name of Peter. And chapter 17, verse 24 to 27, the New Living Translation. Let's go there. Matthew chapter 17. You remember a guy by the name of Peter? Talking to the Lord. And God can give financial miracles, but we don't live by miracles. God will give us a miracle financially if we really have to and believe. You don't have to believe God for a miracle every weekend. Right? And God gives you jobs. He says, let every man work. If God says every man work in Timothy, then it means that God has work for us. If he says God supplies, then he's going to find a way for you to have supply. So we can believe God for good jobs. You can believe God that we can meet our needs. But if you just sit there right around, I wonder if anybody's going to call me today. Well, no, you're going to have to put out some resumes. Knock on some doors, phone somebody. Say, like we saw that one story, this guy says to that guy, do y'all need some, somebody like me around here? He said, well, no, we're all full. We don't need no DJs today. We got our DJ at, we have a guy here working over here. So one day, I guess the DJ, something happened to him. He got drunk or something. He couldn't show up, so he went back, something like that. But what happened to him was he kept going back there. They kept telling him, there's no work. He said, what are you doing? Didn't we tell you yesterday there's no jobs here? He said, I thought, no, maybe somebody might have died or something. I could just jump in. He said, one guy got drunk. One of the DJs, he got drunk, said he had to pull him off air. So he said he went in there, and he had his time to get into go for work. But God will supply your need, right? But anyway, nobody has to die and get drunk. But God will supply your needs. But he was just saying he was persistent. Be ready, right? Somebody says, just get up and dress up and show up and see what happens, right? Standing at work there with your pail on, lunch pail. I said, what are you doing here? I'm ready to work. But we didn't hire you. Well, I'm ready. Stand out there every day. I'm going to stand out at Kavars with my suit on. Or whatever. Somebody got Ed, you need any salesmen? I'm showing up tomorrow. I just gave everything away. You want this? You can have that. I'm sewing. I think I saw Pastor Ken get fired once. He said he worked for this big company. He went all over the world. He gave books everywhere. Then he come back, he never had a job. He's in South Africa. He's in New Zealand. Anyway, now he's behind a camera. Did you find Matthew 6, 17? Huh? Did I say Matthew 17? Verse 24? Okay, let's go there. On the arrival of Capernaum, the collectors of the temple tax came to Peter and asked him, does your teacher pay temple tax? Yes, he does, Peter replied. Then he went into the house, but before he had a chance to speak, Jesus asked him, what do you think, Peter? Do kings tax their own people or the people they have conquered? They tax the people they have conquered, Peter replied. Well then, Jesus said, the citizens are free. However, we don't want to offend them, so go down to the lake and throw in a line, open at the mouth of the first fish you catch, and you will find a large silver coin, take it and pay taxes for both of us. So, what are we saying? Well, this is a special thing. You're not going to find a coin in every fish. And how did that fish get that, right? But I was just thinking about a moose, killing a moose, and you open it up, and there's a bag of money inside the moose. Eh? Wouldn't that be something, just cutting it up there? What is this? There's thousands of dollars in there. Right? I can just buy a house with just that money alone. Ken, you want some? Where'd he go? So we see a miracle of financial blessing. I want you to see another one over here. This doesn't happen every day, but I'm just showing you that this is possible. Right? If that's possible, then it's possible for us. Why would it be there? Why, God was telling you something, just na 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 na. You weren't there, but I bless him. Let's go to Genesis 22, 1 to 14. I'm going to read the King James Version. Let's go to the King James Version. Now, God sees ahead of things, and this is a story that always put a tear in my eye. Somebody said that people are so stingy, used to squeeze their dollar to make the queen cry. Let's go to Genesis 22, did I say? Verse 1. It came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. He said unto him, Abraham, he tested him. That's what he said, testing him. He said, behold, I am here. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, and whom you love, and get into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. That's something. Take your only son that you had to believe me really hard for. You worked really hard to believe me for. Now I'm going to take him away from you. Now, we've had stories about this. We call it the Isaac offering. The Isaac offering is when God asks you for something, something you love so much to do or whatever. He asks you for it, but you don't want to give it, but he says, give it to me. I'm going to do something with it. Really good. He takes it from you, gives it to you back, but he gives you more. Okay, so here what he did. He asked him for Isaac. He never had a son. Remember, he was an old man. And then verse 3 says that Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass, took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and cleaved the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went into the place of which God had told him. And on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw a place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, abide here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come to you again. Notice that. He says, me and my son, my young boy, are going to come back. But God says, take your son and offer him as a burnt offering. But he said, by faith, I'm going to take my son. I'm bringing him back. But he's supposed to offer his son, right? He's believing God. In verse 6, he says, Abraham took the wood and burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and took the fire in his hand and knife, and they both bent of them together, both went. Isaac spake to Abraham his father and said, Father, he said, here I am, my son. He said, behold the fire, the wood, but where's the lamb for the burnt offering? He didn't say, you're the burnt offering. Verse 8, Abraham said, my son, God will provide. Everybody say it. God will provide. Come on, say it. I said, God will provide. See, this is challenging. I think he did strange things to his mind, his heart, his emotions. A lot of us are in a place where we that's what you can say here, God will supply. We saw that word, God shall supply all my needs by his riches and glory, Philippians 4:19. The psalmist says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I shall not lack. I shall not need anything. Abraham says, the Lord will provide a lamb for himself, a burnt offering. So they went both them together. And it came to the place where God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called out to him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. He said, here I am. And he said, lay not thy hand upon thy lad, neither do anything unto him. For now I know thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abram lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abram went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering instead of his son. Abraham called the place to that place Jehovah. We said Jehovah Jireh, as it said today, in the Mount of Olives, it shall be seen. You know, we need to say the Lord will provide our need. His needs are going to be seen in my life. He's going to provide. You know, when things get really tough in our lives, even when healing seems to be a far off thing, I'll never be healed. You know, there was a story in the Old Testament of a guy there by the name of Naaman. And there's another story about, I was thinking about another story about a woman who was in debt. And they were coming to get his sons for slaves so that the man would, because the man, the father owed money. So the people who were owed money, they come and get the kids and they would be slaves forever. You remember the story? So the woman cried to the prophet. And the prophet did something for them, did a miracle. So here is a story. Let me just read it to you. 2 Kings 4, 1 to 7. I'm reading you a number of these scriptures. It's almost the time is at hand here. It says, now there was a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and that creditors come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. Did I give you the scripture? 2 Kings 4, 1 to 7. And Elisha said to her, what shall I do for thee? Tell me what thou hast in thy house. And she said, thine handmaiden has not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Then he said, go borrow these vessels abroad and all thy neighbors, empty vessels, borrow not a few. Verse 4, when thou art come, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons. Thou shalt pour out into all of those vessels. Thou shalt see, set aside that thou wishest, aside that which is full. She went from him and shut the door, verse 5 says, upon her and upon the sons who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. Came to pass when the vessels were full that she said unto the son, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there's not a vessel more. And they all stayed. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go and sell the oil and pay all thy debt, and live. Thou shalt live in thy children of the rest. So we see here another miracle of financial blessing to sustain them. And you see that over and over in different places in the Bible where God will provide the needs, whatever needs you have. So I want to encourage you today, even if it's healing. I was going to talk a little about healing because we have time management here, problems it seems. And so we have to close. But you know, there's things where people who couldn't get healed. Like Naaman. The Bible says, I believe in chapter 5 or next chapter over there after this story, there's a next chapter over about a man named Naaman. And he had leprosy, couldn't be healed. And so he had a little servant girl, and she said, I wish you were in Israel because there's a prophet who has a healing ministry, and he would heal you of your sickness. He said, okay, let's go over there. They went over there and went to that man's house. The man even the prophet didn't come out to see him. He said, go jump in a lake 7 times. Go in the lake and jump in and that Jordan River, the muddy Jordan, and you'll come out. When you come out, you'll be healed. He said, I'm not going to do that. So this seems odd to him. Sometimes God will tell you to do something you never did before. And I like what Dr. Murdoch says. He said, if you want something you've never had, you got to be willing to do something you've never done. And God told the Israelites, I'm going to take you to a place you've never been before. And you'll follow the priest when they step out in the water. You're going to step out in the water. And God will tell you that. You know, sometimes we have to step out in faith into another area where we believe that God can sustain us. Let's go ahead and pray. Lord, we just want to thank you tonight for encouraging us with your scriptures, with your word. You said in your word that you supply all of our needs, every financial need. And so we're going to believe God together with all the people that are here that every need shall be met. Financial needs are coming in. You said to me a few weeks ago, the windows of heaven are open and the people have to stand and believe for whatever they have and do not look at the need itself, but look at the God who fills the need. God will supply. God shall supply. The provision of God shall be seen in my life today. Thank you for meeting every need, every financial need, every financial thing, Lord God, every need. We just open up our hearts to you. And whatever we got, we know it came from you. There's nothing that we have didn't originate from ourselves. Even our very breath, the very strength that we have comes from you. Thank you for meeting every need. And we pray for every person here, Lord God, that they have a need in their house, whatever it is in their home, if it's even in their physical bodies, if they have a need in their body, physical needs, healing, strength, God will not overlook you. You will have strength in your body. Your mind will have great thoughts from God, will rise up in you. You begin to live those thoughts. God supplies all of your needs, physical needs, financial needs, mental health needs. And we're going to obey you, Lord, whatever you said to do. Thank you for meeting my needs. We give you praise and thanksgiving and honor, glory and adoration for all the things you do, Lord. We worship you, God. We honor you, Lord. We honor you. We honor you and give you the glory. Father, you took us from nothing and you gave us a name. That name of Jesus. We were nothing, worthless without you. But you made us worthwhile and precious in your sight. You've given us life, Lord. And you said, do not forget, when we're prosperous, then we got a little bit of prosperity in our lives. And we're enjoying life. We got a house, we got a car, we got things are going good. And Lord, we will not forget you. We'll not forget you. We put ourselves in that perspective tonight, Lord. I give you praise and thanksgiving. I thank you for meeting every need in the house, meeting every physical need, every mental health need, emotional need. Everything that people need. People need friends. People need direction. People need wisdom for whatever they're doing, projects, whatever plans they got. Remove the things that are wasteful and unneeded in their lives and give them, Lord God, the wisdom so that they can make a difference. They know the difference. The Bible says, I pray that you'd have wisdom so that you know what's the most important thing to do. And so that you can make changes and that you'll have fruitful lives that will be beneficial to yourself and those that are around you. We give you praise and thanksgiving in Jesus' name for that. We'll be eternally grateful for you. And those that are watching online or those that are in this house, if they haven't given themselves fully to you, they say, Lord, I just turn my life over to you right now. Your will and your plan. May your pleasure be done, your good pleasure be done. And I'll go to bed tonight feeling safe and feeling that God, that life is worth living. We will not fear a thing. In Jesus' name, and everyone said amen and amen.